Good morning. I'm going to take a moment to introduce myself. My name is Karen Miles. I'm the Associate for Faith Formation at the Diocese of California, which basically means I'm the Diocesan Youth Minister. I love today's reading from Romans when Paul writes, "We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." How many of us have had those days full of sighs, too deep for words, when we just don't have the energy or the motivation to keep going? When I first started work as a youth minister 15 years ago, I worked in a suburb of Dallas, and being the South, we had Wednesday night Bible study. And there was one Wednesday where by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was done. Done. Didn't want to be at work anymore that day, but I still had a dozen plus teenagers showing up in a few hours. So they came, we had dinner, got into the youth room, and I just kind of sat there and they chatted. And after about 5 minutes, one of the kids went, "Guys, Karen hasn't said anything and it's creeping me out." And so I admitted to them how I was feeling. I said, "Guys, usually we meet in the middle. Today I'm gonna need you to come a little further to meet me, because right now the only reason I'm here is because I won't get paid if I don't." So I popped in the Simpsons DVD we were gonna watch and talk about. 20 minutes later, as we started the Bible study, one of the teenagers gently reached over, took the piece of paper with my questions and Bible quotes on it off of my lap, and led the Bible study. I didn't have to say a word all night. They more than met me where I was. It's times like that that remind me that when we just can't do it alone, God reminds us that we just can't do it alone. Not only is God always with us, Paul reminds us that nothing can separate us from God. And the list is long and daunting of things that cannot separate us. Hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword, not life or death, angels or rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, anything in creation. And that includes ourselves. God is always with us. We come to church because we cannot do this alone. Jesus spent his time teaching and reminding us to love so that we don't attempt this alone. I'm actually convinced that Jesus was a youth minister. He only had like 12 people in his group. They never understood anything he told them. They were always hungry and never had food, and one of them was trying to kill him. The 5 short parables that Jesus tells in today's gospel are another example of his youth ministry. He has to try 5 different ways of saying the same thing. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make a nest in its branches. Growing things is hard. I'm awful at it. I have 2 black thumbs. I kill things. It takes patience and time and water and time and good soil and time. And you can't fuss with it. You just have to wait. Nothing you do can speed it up, but that's part of what makes it worth it. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. So I had to look this up. I did some Googling. Leaven or yeast is a fungus, y'all. Like, it's bread is basically a super tasty bacterial bioprocess. And I'm really kind of curious, like going down the Google rabbit hole of yeast and bacteria led me to yogurt, which made me wonder who was the first person who was like, hey guys, so you know that milk you told me to throw out 3 weeks ago? You should try it. It's really delicious and yummy. Leaven and the love of God is like that. It doesn't make sense. And like the mustard seed, if we leave it to grow, it becomes something beautiful that we want to share and spread everywhere. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Are there any realtors in this room? 1 or 2? Is this person shrewd or deceptive? Is he just smart? This parable doesn't tell us what he did with that field he bought. But that may not matter. The field and the treasure are all that he has left in the world. And maybe that's enough. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You can't eat a pearl or do much with it beyond look at it or make jewelry out of it, but that doesn't diminish its value. I think we all have something in our homes that people would look at and think it doesn't have much value, but that's the thing you'd get out in a fire. That's the thing that matters. This necklace I wear was actually my mom's wedding ring. And after my parents divorced, she gave it to me and said, oh, just sell it. It's just get rid of it. And that's when I discovered it's technically yellow and has a giant carbon chip in it. And it's almost worthless. But it matters to me. I never take it off. In this necklace that has no value to the world is the story of my family. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. The net doesn't segregate. To paraphrase an old saying, love them all, let God sort them out. A couple weeks ago, I was lucky enough to be at the Episcopal Youth event in Oklahoma City. We had 1,300 youth and adults in one place. And when the presiding bishop preached to the youth, I cannot do a Michael Curry impression, I'm not gonna try, but he said, love God, love your neighbor, change the world. If we're acting like the net, we're not discriminating, we're not segregating, we are loving everyone with abandon and recklessness. When you live in that love, you are not alone. Paul wrote, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. When I first started doing youth ministry in my early 20s, I was terrified that I didn't know what I was doing, that I would break something, which I have, that I would screw something up, which I did. But people kept reminding me that God does not call the equipped, God equips the called. As we live together as a church family, following Jesus, loving each other, tending to mustard bushes, helping them grow, baking bread and sharing our leaven, buying fields and pearls for no reason except the joy within them. Living together as people of God, trying to love like Jesus, Life in community is messy and flawed and full of sighs, but that's what the kingdom of God looks like. Amen.